Hello, friends, and welcome to the Experience Grind podcast, the show about getting older and the experiences we've gained along the way, or the experiences we're gaining along the way. Through movies, TV, games, music, pop culture, all that stuff. I forgot I was talking halfway through the sentence. Love it. I'm your host this week, Brian, and I think I'm craving some pizza, or maybe it's drugs. I think we're going to dive into that a little more. We're talking about the semi-recent Hulu original film Pizza Movie. And joining me, as always, are my roommates in this audio dormitory. Careful, if he drops a curse word, his head will explode. It's Sean.
Yeah, sometimes when I'm singing, I'm just like...
He wishes he could body swap with his pet butterfly. It's Kyle.
Oh, that would be really awesome. Although I would probably get insane vertigo from like the crazy new vision, just like he did.
The kaleidoscope eyes.
I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in a moment of horrible clarity, he'll realize that he's actually just co-hosting a podcast. It's Ryan.
Oh my God. I think I've had this ever since we've started this whole podcast. You've brought light to my world.
There it is. Clarity. All it takes is 2 minutes. We're talking today about Pizza Movie. Came out like last month, 2 months ago on Hulu. It's a Hulu original film. And have any of you already seen this before we did this?
I did.
Ryan.
I did. Maybe a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
So really recent.
Recent. You did too? It's been on my list of things to get to.
I had no idea this existed. Never heard of it. Not on my radar.
All right.
Completely. You said Pizza Movie, and I was like, huh, what is this?
No, so is it that TV show with Ryan Reynolds?
I was so unaware, I told them off the air when I was searching for it. I was searching on Netflix for, I was looking for Weed Movie. That's what I thought. Nothing was coming up. I was Netflix? Like, what the fuck? So then I had to go back and be like, oh, it's Pizza Movie on Hulu.
Yeah, they pull the old switcheroo on you, which, as it happens, is one of the steps, one of the symptoms. We're going to get into that right now, actually. I have a little synopsis before we get into our rating scale here. So I'm just going to dive into that. Jack and Montgomery are two college roommates having an absolutely cursed semester. Jack is being socially nuked after some sort of football-related humiliation. The whole campus hates him for something related to do with the football team. And Montgomery is awkwardly pining for this girl, Ashley, who he really knows nothing about. And their former friend, Lizzie, has joined like the campus bullying brigade. So, you know, just your typical freshman year from like Adult Swim, 2 a.m. energy. The boys take mysterious experimental drug called mints, which immediately plunges them into violent hallucinations that can only be stopped by eating food, specifically pizza. Unfortunately, their salvation is trapped somewhere in the dorm inside a pizza delivery robot named Snacktron 3000, which instantly becomes the most important character in the movie. As they search for their pizza, the drug sends them through bizarre trials, including entertaining a creepy magic baby, surviving a hallway where swearing makes your head explode, reliving painful memories through interactive flashbacks, and all sorts of fun trials along the way. They end up at a chaotic football party where bodies start swapping. So now Jack is briefly experiencing popularity while Lizzie is realizing that she's being manipulated by her dirtbag friends. And Montgomery body swaps with his pet butterfly and unveils a whole evil RA plot involving confiscating phones and exiling all of the dormitory ne'er-do-wells to the dreaded Gralk Hall. The increasingly authoritarian R.A. Blake captures the group before they can eat the pizza, hoping to use Jack's face to unlock all the confiscated phones, because he's got a weird face, I guess. I don't know. I think he's a cute guy. I don't know. Lizzie returns. Ashley's folk punk band joins the chaos, and Snackatron 3000 literally dives out of a window to protect the sacred pizza. In the final hallucination phase, chainsaw maniacs chase the trio through the dorm. Blake gets force-fed the remaining drugs. The movie briefly breaks reality and suggests everyone's trapped inside a low-budget indie film, which is fantastic. And the friends finally eat the pizza and the hallucination, ditch their toxic relationships, and return to their dorm united by trauma, carbs, and anti-RA solidarity.
Yeah. Fact.
Before we dive in too deep, you asked about us, Brian, but what made you want to do this movie? Like, what jumped out at you? Like,
this movie...
Why this? Have you seen it?
I had not seen it, no. It was it was on my radar. I saw a trailer for it, probably watching something else on Hulu or Disney Plus. I don't know. And I was like, hey, that seems interesting because it feels like kind of a callback to those early mid-aughts comedies, that those, you know, direct to DVD American Pie branded bullshits that you just don't get anymore. The kind of Harold and Kumar shenanigans that aren't really being made anymore in the comedy sphere. And I was like, I need to check this movie out. And finally had a chance to. So I also made all of you do it too.
Appreciate it.
On that note, we start off with story.
I appreciated it or not.
Oh. Well, that seems real cryptic. So I think I want you to start off with story.
That's what he wanted. He fell into his hands.
I don't care.
Story. I didn't want to. I actually wanted to see how everybody else felt.
Oh, sure. Should we come back to you? Do you want to go last on story?
I actually thought about this category a lot today. Because I don't know. I feel like I've approached it the same, like the last bunch of movies. And I feel like I've been consistently giving like a 3. And I don't think that's been entirely fair.
You're dead inside.
And I feel if I kind of, because like on the surface, you've seen this movie. If I'm being fair, it doesn't break much, if any, new ground. But I'll be gosh darned if I wasn't hooked into it from the moment I hit play. I did really enjoy the variation on the story. Like I told you, I was searching for weed movie. I thought this was just like a typical stoner movie. Really liked the drug was different. It was unique. So I liked that automatically allowed them to set their own rules, which they did great. And really, I thought elevated the way the story presented itself. And I thought it was a perfectly fine explanation for why sometimes they are completely lucid, because the rules literally stated, sometimes you will be lucid in between transition periods. And it's like, okay, 100% on board.
Perfect.
I loved every fucking aspect of that. I really liked how this movie had so many callbacks and payoffs to things that it set up earlier in the movie. There's like an absolute shitload of things that like they reference to that have payoffs and callbacks and like resolution by the end of the movie. Great writing. I'm fully on board. I don't know if I'm just being petty or selfish or what to keep it from a perfect, because I really enjoyed every aspect of it. Outside, I even really enjoyed the whole presentation that the entire thing is this them trying to get down 2 floors in a dormitory. what a setting. It's like a bottle episode almost. That's also an escape movie. And they do get into a lot of variety and variation within this small limited space. I don't know. I'm really, really, really hype on it though. I really enjoyed the story and the way it goes. And I'm at a 4 right now. And I'm curious if I do get talked up. And for that, I want to go to somebody else who has not seen this movie and kick it to Sean with his Viking braid.
Yeah, yeah. All of you audio listeners, you now know that. Very cool. Man, I think you said this perfectly the first time. We've all seen this. We've seen this movie. And with it, I'm not going to be as high on this as you. I think the notable things about this were I like the concept of they need to get down 2 floors and they're periodically in and out. As silly as that driving point is, and like the whole YouTube thing, I'm kind of questioning, like, I don't know. I don't love the whole finding the YouTube video explanation thing. as much.
It's a very convenient.
Like, good as much, because it, like, it literally needs to be there, and they need to have stumbled upon it for this movie to really make any sort of sense. I think the scripting in this is mostly great. There are times where, I don't know, it just, it, even with it being so college-aged heavy, and 31-year-old, heavy, and somebody's grandpa, old, and heavy, it does get a bit too silly in some points. I think a lot of the lifting of my enjoyment of this movie comes from other categories, so I've got to kind of save it for that. Also, the whole thing around his face being just weird enough and just perfect enough to unlock phones, I thought was such a stupid shoe-in at the end of this movie that really just...
honestly.
It, like, there was no build-up to it. There was no illusion to it.
They've been calling him Weird Face the whole movie.
They call him Weird Face, but they don't allude to it also unlocking other people's phones. It could have been a nice other setup, like, had they used that, like, he used it at some point.
Yes.
But still...
Or it accidentally happened. I didn't hate it,
but I get it.
But with all of that, I still, like, there's nothing about this story that I... like really dislike to the point where I don't like the story. And so I'm still going to go a 3 because I think it's good. I think it's perfectly serviceable. I don't think there's anything inherently bad about it, but also I don't think that there's anything overly great about it either. And I'll kick it to Brian.
Okay. All right. I'm going to show my hand here a little bit because I had a lot of fun with this movie. There's a reason that it was on my list of things to watch, because I expected it to hit certain notes that it absolutely did the whole way through. Yes, this is a movie we've seen. It's a whole genre that we've seen, but I feel like it's been missing for so long that it's nice to see it come back, and it's nice to see how it's evolved. Because if this is the kind of humor that Gen Z is into, then I think these kids are all right, actually. I think we're going to be okay. It's something that I didn't expect to like as much as I did. And I think the story was tight. I mean, yes, the YouTube video is convenient that they came across that there was one Google result, which in itself was kind of a funny joke, but that it was step by step what's going to happen for the rest of the movie, right down to the, if you have more than one of them, it breaks the fabric of reality and you see everything for what it really is. And the way they broke the fourth wall at the end to defeat the bad guy, and he's just like, oh, I'm here for exposition. I'm just a character. I'm a caricature. So good. Loved it. And all of the different side effects along the way, the make the baby like it, no bad words, flashbacks, the old switcheroo, tell the truth. We are all one. So fucking good. Loved it. I think that this script is tight. And the way they do callbacks and references and everything is resolved right down to fucking Snackatron 3000 is impressive. So for me, this is actually going to be a 5. I cannot find anything about it that makes me go, no, didn't like that. So yeah, 5 for me, and I'll kick it to Ryan.
Oh boy. Y'all ran the gamut, and I like it. I kind of agree with a little bit of everybody, so this is going to be fun to see where I land. I'm going to immediately push back on, this is a movie we don't see anymore. This is a movie that's not maybe heavily advertised, but we absolutely have these movies. You said the mid-aughts, but like the 21 Jump Street movies did something very similar, like in like the 10s. We had like Booksmart and like, Bottoms with Aoi Debiri, and I cannot think of the other actress's name, but like just like 2 years ago, and that felt very much like this, which is like this super hard R-rated like high school movie or college movie or whatever, where it's like kind of vaguely nostalgic, but they're like doing something else and like showcasing like this new kind of humor. I think that's been pretty steady. I think that's there. They're just not getting the attention that they used to. They're not coming to theaters. We're not seeing them in crowds and audiences like we used to, like the fucking... the comedies that we all grew up on, like from the mid aughts, because theaters were so like a place to go to back then. That's kind of not the vibe anymore for comedies. And I think that's a large part. So I do think these movies exist. So I do kind of feel with Sean on this, it's like, I've seen a lot of these, like this is a very trope heavy movie, but I also lean into what Brian said, which is, I think that makes it kind of like really smart because it takes those tropes and then just runs with it. They don't spend a lot of time setting these characters up because you get it. You get like a very brief, cursory, introductory scenes. And then they're running with like essentially like the best part of 21 Jump Street, which is like the two of them on drugs. But like that's the whole movie. So I think that's kind of brilliant. I struggle with the story and the wrap up at the end because there are some threads that I'm really not satisfied with how they resolve. We talk about ending the toxic relationships or finding a way to move on from these toxic relationships. But I didn't think... and maybe I would love to discuss this in more depth, but I didn't think, oh god damn it, how do I pronounce his name, Montgomery's relationship or kind of potential meet cute, all this stuff with Ashley, I didn't think that was necessarily bad or toxic. So then when he ends it real abruptly because she intimidates him to go to the friend, the setup was there. It just really did not feel very satisfying for me because I don't know that I agree with that choice of like saying no to something because you're a little intimidated. In my experience, sometimes being a bit intimidated leads to like really cool experiences where you fucking grow and find out something new about yourself. So it's
especially in a movie where you've spent the whole time doing new and exciting things and growing from it.
Yeah, it would be different too if like maybe they made Ashley a bit of a villain or like given her any bad qualities to balance this out or give her any kind of reason to, but there really isn't a reason.
I mean, the instrument she played was a screaming man.
She does torture a man.
He agreed to
on stage.
He agreed and to
I'm
it.
Gonna
he
go
did agree to it.
Yes.
It's art. It's performance.
But
art,
I can't see Montgomery going that way.
He yeah. became a butterfly that night and ripped off. I'm going to go much further into this and then I disagree with this.
Yeah.
But I think there are some kind of issues with the wrap up that like hold me back from being maybe as enthusiastic as Brian. So with all this said, I am more positive than Sean. And this category brings into like the dialogue and script, right? And the script is so good. For, like, the one drug scene where they can't say curse words, that is gold. Oh like, God. That is, like, 3 minutes of perfection. And, like, the timing and back and forth and, oh, it's so good. The writing.
Oh, it's a British drug.
It's funny. And the ways they keep finding to make it new and clever, they do this with every kind of concept. And for that, I think I'm in, like, the very solid, strong four. Very close to a five. I just really, I wanted more from like maybe the third act. The third act disappointed me a bit. And I get why they're doing certain things and some things I like, but I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little unsatisfied both times now watching this movie in the climax.
Okay. That's fair. I can see where you're coming from. Next we'll talk about characters. And I think... I want Sean to lead this one off because it sounded like he was ready to go.
Man, I could not be any more opposite from you, Ryan. I think Montgomery's arc in this movie is one of my favorite character arcs I've seen in anything recently. I loved the payoff of that at the end where you had Jack mention at one point, he's like, how do you know you like her? You don't even know anything about her. He's like, oh, I just do. And then as he gets to know her, and he's just like, we have nothing in common. I don't even like this music. She is terrifying. And that is way outside of his zone. And he like comes to realize who he is and embraces that and realizes that like his best friend this whole time, that is, she's been his wallpaper with the three of them, is actually someone he's always connected with. I thought that story, start to finish, was perfect. I also loved every other character in this movie. I mean, don't get me wrong. I saw like I was poo-pooing on this movie in story, which is crazy that I'm like, oh, his face, like what a weird MacGuffin for a movie that some dude goes out of reality and goes into the writing room. Like, what am I even doing here? But I thought, like, in terms of casting, I thought everybody was, you know, everybody was casted great. I feel like there was times where, no, there's really nobody in this movie that I really have any notes on. And I enjoyed the personality in every character, the arcs of pretty much every character. I thought Montgomery stole this. The whole RA thing, the characters of the RAs was just, holy fucking God. This was so good. Yeah, this is a hard five for me. A hard five. I love these characters.
So hard.
And it's so hard.
I'm good, bro.
I'm going to send it to Kyle.
What, Dustin and, who's the fucking
Jack, bully? You mean?
No.
From
I mean,
Stranger Things?
That's, yeah.
Dustin and Steve.
Dustin and Steve are the best part of Stranger Things. I fucking love Gaten Matarazzo.
Mm-hmm.
On that same note, I absolutely adore a little television show called The Goldbergs. I'd never heard of this movie. So goddamn it, was I popped when I pressed play and Sean Giambrone showed up on the fucking screen. I was like, oh shit, it's the Goldbergs kid. I love this kid. And Gaten Matarazzo, this movie's going to be tight. And then, it was a lot of people that like I sort of recognized, but everybody I really fucking enjoy. Sarah Sherman as the chemist chick. She was fucking great for that little cameo. Daniel Radcliffe absolutely killing it as Lysander Featherhelm, third of his name, and servant to the god Montgomery.
The one god,
the one true god.
The butterfly.
What great shit, man. Super heavy. But to be honest with you, who stole the show for me was Caleb Heeran as Sidney Puttman.
Hell yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ.
That was
going to
be my pull.
I'm so sorry that I stole that thunder because, man, I loved every second this guy was on screen, and I do wish there was more of him. Oh, such a great, just every bit of it. When he shows up as the fucking Grinch with the helium, just
you guys
for no
are
reason.
Weird.
You freaks are weird.
I have Superbad plus Harold and Kumar. That's a note I have. This is maybe for style, but I want to get it out there. Oh, wait, I can also say this. God damn it, Snackatron 3000, the only clanker I will ever like.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, when he fucking dives to save the pizza and then just keeps going through the fucking window, I lost it. I'm with Sean here, man. A hard, hard five. And it is very close to a BP.
Whoa.
Very close.
Wow.
Because it is damn near perfect.
Bilateral
I fucking love it.
Hell yeah.
Sounds like a clanker.
So a full five for me on the characters. Loved every single fucking person in this movie. They absolutely nailed it. Brian, steal the thunder from the other character Ryan wants to talk about before he gets to it.
All right. I'll talk about Juan.
All is one.
Damn it!
We are all one. I mean, Juan. I love the flashes in that scene when they go back to just the three of them, like Megatroning.
It's so good. It was like
Megatron?
Ant-Man when he's
Megazording.
Fighting.
Yeah, I feel like these characters are. Everybody has their own arc. Even the fucking caricature of R.A. Blake ends up seeing the universe for what it is and just walking off like, what the fuck am I doing? What is the point of all this? I love it. There is a little bit of a one-dimensionality with a lot of these characters, but it is a teen weed comedy movie that's to be expected. And I don't think it should be punished because, like, goddamn it, even Snackatron shows up and, like, gives his entire reason for being in his terms and conditions and then just lives by that for the rest of the movie and has his own arc of making sure that Montgomery is satisfied with his order before dying for the pizza delivery. It's just
also that motherfucker could totally go upstairs.
he did. He managed to go up the stairs. God damn it. Yeah, these characters are great, and I agree. I fucking love Caleb Heron as the new RA and just how out of place he is with the rest of the RAs. One of the things I loved about the RAs is just the nostalgia I got from when I was in college, especially my freshman year. And like the RA was definitely your biggest enemy at that time. It was, well, maybe not for everybody. Some of you might have been nerds, but us cool kids. That's what all cool kids say. They call themselves cool kids.
That's how you know.
They sure do.
That's how the RA know. Was the enemy. They were there to ruin your good time. Yeah. Lysander Featherhelm, just in both iterations as the body swapped version with Montgomery and when he returns, and goddamn when they're switched and Sydney says, like, did you just hear the tiniest voice say, oh no, or whatever he says? so good. I don't think these characters are perfect. I think they're very, very good. It's going to be a 4 for me, and I'm going to send it to Ryan.
Awesome.
Wow.
I thought I was going to be fighting 3 5s here because I'm also out of 4. And honestly, I could just repeat everything that's already been said by everybody. Also, Sean, I just smacked my microphone, so have fun with that.
Smack my mic up.
The only thing I would say, and feel free to fight me on this, I did not find Lizzie or her arc and all of the other people around her very convincing or fun. Like, especially like Logan and his bit, I thought got real stale real quick. And like, I guess it's the Family Guy payoff where they did it so many times.
So many times you find it funny again.
But
that's what I loved about it.
And it's like, I get it. This guy has nothing going on that he's really only talking about farting on these kids.
We weren't gonna fart on them.
And then I farted on him.
When but I had then, a brief pause, it was contemplating exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and so there's that, and then how like Lizzie bounces off of them and goes back and forth between the two groups. I just found it very wrought, not very believable. And that's in a movie where nothing believable happens, where it's a lot of fantastical shit. But like, I kind of buy into Gaten and Sean and their kind of whole deal. And like, I believe their characters. Like, they both become Jack and Montgomery. I don't see the Goldbergs kid anymore. I don't see the Stranger Things kid anymore. Like, I just see these characters. They blend into those characters. And this felt like an actress when it came to Lizzie. And then all of the stuff around her. So I'm a little about that too, which is part of it. But I also want to go back to Jack Martin. Since Kyle spoke on Caleb Heron, he's so fucking good. Jack Martin, I think, is fucking incredible. He's got some like Dane DeHaan energy. He's got something. And this is a kid to watch out for. I think he's very, very, very sharp. So this is another very, very high 4 for me. Almost a 5, but just like a few small things hold me back.
Nice. All right. Well, then let's go right into style. I'll kick this off. It's a 5 for me. No surprise. I love what they did with this thing. The way the light changes in the room before they go into a different stage of the drug symptoms, and then you get a quick crash course on what happens, and then they just ramp it up until they're at a certain point abusing the system itself, especially in like when their heads explode. They're using that as a time reset to do things, and it's so good. And just the way things look, and when they go into like some of these flashbacks or like the blatantly CGI characters who pop up, just I had so much fun with this. And to find out that it's rumored to have a budget that's on par with a single SNL sketch was something that blew my absolute mind, because this movie looks so good for how tiny of a budget it must have had.
I don't know how that's possible.
I don't either. I couldn't find any other information on how much the budget for this movie actually was. All I found were references that it was micro budget and done for what they said was the same amount as a single SNL sketch. And that's either SNL has gotten really expensive or this is a very impressive feat. Anytime you're going to combine Harold and Kumar and Die Hard, I'm in. So that is a 5 for me on style, and I will send it to Ryan.
I'm not going to beat around the bush, because I beat around the bush often. This is a 5 for me. I'm right there with you. I think the style is fantastic. I loved the R.A. Blake's backstory being like those cutout paper kind of animation style. Like, there are just so many choices like that are already pretty great. And like, even if they weren't very effective or done well, I'd be happy. But I think they're done very, very well. The CG, what sparingly CG there is, I think is effective. It works. It's really good. I think it looks better than SNL skits. And there are like so many different skits in this movie doing many different things. I was very impressed with the style. Talk about the Megazord fight at the end. I got like Edgar Wright, Scott Pilgrim kind of flashes in there. I think they're doing a lot of very interesting things. I would love to see more from this team. I think there's a great, great style that they have. This is maybe the highest category for me here. I love the style here. I think the style is what makes this movie. And that this incorporates like editing and cinematography too, right? Because the editing is so fucking good. If we're talking comedies, like comedies live or die by the editing. And I knew I was in good hands with Jack's intro at the very beginning of the movie, and how they cut to him coming out of the corner like this pose, and the bullies are behind him when they weren't before, and they're like, there he is, get him, and then they cut and then immediately to like, all right guys, and he gives the big impassionate speech, or if you just want to tie me up to the water tower and throw water balloons filled with piss at me, then I guess you could. And then they cut to him up on the water tower just, God damn it. And then
smash cut.
Two water balloons. It's really, really, really solid editing. Yeah, this, I think if anything, this is where the BP goes, but I don't feel like it's mine to give. So I'm going to let somebody else maybe give it, but this is a very strong 5 for me here. I've been last. I have to pick Shawnee Boy. Kyle.
Muted? Nope. Sorry. Nope. Bonus point. Sorry, I was muted. I had to switch headsets. Bonus point. Glad you didn't take it. Glad you didn't give it. This movie deserves it. This movie oozes style, oozes in every fucking sense of it. Like, oozes like cheese off of a pizza, because, you know, the best kind of pizza is a cheese pizza. like cheese pizza. Fuck my life. Anyways. Everything that's already been said, but I'm going the extra step and giving it that bonus.
Okay.
6 for me. Kyle, round us out.
Well, I'm glad you guys all went before me, because I will say you talked me up a bit. I was at a 4 on this, only because from what I remember, it does look like a low budget Netflix series in the presentation. Just it has some of that flat look almost. But you did remind me of the fantastic paper puppet scenes, and a lot of the smash edits, and it is well done. You brought me up to a 5, and I will say, maybe this is giving up the ghost, but I'm glad Sean gave the BP here, because I would have probably pushed for it on the next category. So I'll say that, and say that I am at a 5 on style. I have some things to mention with style. First off, low/mid-budget stoner movie, My Beloved. Glad you're back. Also, from this movie, especially with some of the gross-out humor, like the poop in the purse, big Workaholics vibes, which worked very well for me. Very funny stuff. There's also another gross out thing they did. Well, I mean, obviously the face farts was fucking disgusting. And but I like that Beef he just stew. Like he sits down and he takes it and he's like, hey, let me make this easy for you. Also, you talked about Gaten Matarazzo's introduction. I really enjoyed Sean Giambrone's when he fucking is sprinting to the laundromat and he fills up his pants with quarters from the machine. And then when like all of the quarters just spill out of his giant cargo pants. Again, you talk about just the great edit. When he takes the small step and he jingles so loud and he's so awkward. That's why I'm saying, like, we got to get to E-Value because this movie does some things. But I'm at a 5 on style and you guys talked me up. So well done.
I think so much why I was so low on story is because I think the characters and the style lift this movie so much for me.
I agree.
And yeah. Crush it.
Yeah, definitely. I think next is direction. And I don't think we've had Ryan lead off yet.
So outside of the clip that Paul has shared with us about the accidental text, I'm not familiar with this director's the directing team, who are apparently just like a bunch of two people on YouTube doing skits. I want to now go watch those skits because I really like the accidental text and I really like Pizza Movie. I think there's a fresh voice in here that I get. I can latch onto it. I know there are YouTube comedy groups who've done similar things. Like, I think this movie, I love Derek comedy. I love Childish Gambino. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. This is a better movie than Mystery cool. Team was. Mystery 100%. Team was not great. And
it's okay.
This movie is really, really clicking and moving in gears. And like, this should have been what Mystery Team was and what many other movies I've seen YouTube comedy teams try to do, or even like, here you go, come at me, Auntie Donna. Like, I think I would die if they did a full length movie. I don't think I can handle like 80-90 minutes of that speed the whole time. This is perfect.
I could, but I could get why you couldn't.
Yeah, I couldn't, sorry. But yeah, it has its people. For me, this is hitting everything just right. I think this is a very strong first showing for directors. I think it's even more impressive that they were able to make that jump, as I talked about. But more so, just hearing that this is news to me. So this really has inflated my score in the episode. I was coming in maybe at a 4 for directors, but hearing that this is the same budget as an SNL skit nowadays blows my fucking mind. And that they've made such a solid movie with that. Yeah, I think this is a 5. I think they did a fantastic job. Cannot wait for more from these people. That's it. 5. So, Kyle, what are your thoughts?
I really wish that Brian would have brought this movie to us in September. Really would have fit in really well.
I wasn't sure if we were doing that.
I know. I mean, we don't anymore, but it would have just fit. It would have been a nice homage, as I used to say a lot. Also, I got to say that pizza looked fucking delicious, so much so it made me... I got pizza for dinner tonight because I really wanted it after seeing it and hearing even about it so much. So Pizza Movie succeeded.
Fell on it. It was like, I'd still eat that.
I thought I still would have eaten it. It like had a perfect peel. I liked Homegirl struggled with it and they kept that take in. Great little bit there. I don't know. I was also, I didn't know where I was going to come out in director, but honestly, thinking back, what sets me up to the 5-2 is honestly their self-insertion into the movie. when they break the fourth wall and how they handle it. A director cameo is usually always pretty funny. The way that it's just so fucking on the nose is great, and I love that. So they're also getting a 5. And maybe it's just I'm riding the high from it. I'm generous on this movie tonight. I don't care. It was a fucking great time. So I'm going to kick it to Sean Boy.
Man, if you took an isolation U-turn with Oliver Stone last week, and you take Nick and Brian in this movie this week, you would just assume that Oliver Stone was a dog shit director comparing the two movies.
He is.
This is night and day over last week. I think there is only a couple of things that I brought up in this episode that I think, you know, you could attribute to direction, because they also wrote this movie too. So it's, you know, it's they're directing what they wrote, so they're following through on a clear vision. And I think that vision was great. I read an IMDb review earlier that said, I put this on to be background noise and found myself being pulled into it. And I'm like, yep, I can absolutely see that. Like, take a look at the movie and you're like, oh, okay, what the fuck is happening? I need to sit down. and I think they knew what they were going for, and they really, really made it happen. There's such clever things in there. Like, Brian, you had mentioned the lights when things started to go. I loved everything they did with the heads exploding from the curses. Like, that was so clever and such a cool scene. And by the end of it, I'm like, oh, they just get to keep resetting time. Oh, is he going to try to get the perfect line? Yep, he is going to try to get the perfect. That's perfect. They wrote it. They directed it. 5 from me. I think they knocked it out of the park with this. Brian, round us off.
Man, could you imagine if I completely went against all you guys? I was like, it's a 1. These guys suck after everything I've said about how much I like this movie.
I expect it every time.
I don't know how you could justify it, but I'd love to hear you try.
Same.
No, this is going to be a 5 from me. No surprises here. I really appreciate that Brian McElhaney and Nick Kocher, their self-insert, like Kyle was talking about, wasn't even as directors. They were writers in that scene. And there's like a certain amount of humility to that when you're doing a self-insert. Like, you are directing the movie, but in your scene, you're going to be the writers. And that's fucking cool. Sean hit the nail on the head when he said, like, there was a clear vision here. They're writers, directors. They knew what they were doing. And as a feature film debut on the tight budget they had, this is nothing but impressive. So it's obviously going to be a 5 from me. And I actually did not realize that they wrote Over Your Dead Body, which is the new Jason Segel and Samara Weaving movie that's coming out.
Oh.
Where they're like both trying to kill each other. Dude, so
I want to see that movie pumped so badly.
I already wanted to see it. Now I want to see it so much more.
I've heard it's really good. Yeah.
I'm very excited to see some more Britannic, as they're known.
As they're known prior to 2 minutes ago? Yeah, or did you just coin
they're
this?
Actually,
okay.
No, they're literally, their Wikipedia page is Britannic. That is their name. I think it's probably their YouTube channel, but
okay,
they're known as Britannic. That brings us to our final category, which is entertainment value. And I'm just going to kick this off real quick with a Rotten Tomatoes, 79% critical, 65% audience. So this is like kind of middling. Everything else is lower. IMDb is a 5.9. Metacritic's a 64. It's only a 3 on Letterboxd. So it's right there in like the mid-60s.
Dude, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Audiences don't know how to have fun with fucking comedies anymore, and it's because they're not seeing them in fucking theaters with other people. Yes. You fucking lose out when you don't hear other people laughing and are able to join in. You get fucking in your head when you're at home alone watching this shit on your stupid fucking mobile phones.
That's what I was going to say. Call me a boomer, but I think another big problem is the shorter attention span and the TikTokification of entertainment for the target demographic of this exact movie. Who doesn't enjoy long-form entertainment anymore. Yep. Most of their stuff is bite-sized segments.
And this isn't maybe fucking I'm long.
Generalizing, but
this is
it's not. No. It's not it's long, perfectly... and it's broken up in a way that has literal segments of yeah. I mean, it should yeah. be hitting the right notes.
I'm surprised. And
granted,
it didn't.
I understand, like, it's a stoner movie, and that's not going to hit for everybody. There is a very specific segment of people that are going to watch this and be like, that's the worst movie I've ever seen. And, like, I get that. I won't bury the lead here. Like, I'm not in that demographic. Also, at the same time, I'm not going to say this was the greatest movie that I've ever seen, mm-hmm. but holy fuck, was it fun.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
Brian, I think you said something earlier and Ryan came back to it that there's not a lot of movies coming out like this. And Ryan, you said it's death or not push. But I think this movie did it so well. Like, this is the best. I've done several stoner movie Septembers. That was referenced by Kyle. This is the best stoner movie I've seen in years. And I think they did for this stoner movie, like what was just done with The Naked Gun recently. It's something that had really, that had great prevalence that when they were hitting, but yeah. then it just kind of hit a slump and really good ones haven't come out in a while. And I think they were able to do this with the stoner movie genre.
Yeah. It felt like a return to form for me. I mean, I know that there's been some, and like Booksmart, fucking great. I love that mm-hmm. movie. So it's just, I don't know. This felt like going back to what the formula used to be and updating it for a new generation. And it felt good. It was so much fun and it was silly and it was just silly enough, but it was still smart enough to be like, okay, like they are setting stuff up, paying it off. There are jokes within jokes here. And it's just, goddamn, I was so entertained. It's easily a 5 for me. And I'm going to throw it to Kyle because he had already hinted at his score for entertainment value.
Like I said, yeah, this would be getting a BP for me because, I don't know, maybe there's some real, it's rare for me to watch a movie and laugh. Especially generally a comedy movie. I will be entertained, but it'll be like, huh, that was funny, you know? And it is funny, but it doesn't get the reaction from me. I acknowledge it is funny. I acknowledge the smartness of it's written. The amount of times I fucking laughed by myself watching this movie today, I can't count, dude. Constantly made me crack up. Little bits, little payoffs, everything. Actual laughs out loud. Entertain the absolute fuck out of me. It's an hour and a half long, perfect length. Can't make a complaint. I wish I could give it a bonus point. It's the hardest hard 5. I'll give besides what I give to my wife tonight.
You're overestimating there, huh?
Nah, you know. Hey, you gotta. Camera's 5 pounds.
It's usually in the dick. It's
exclusively in the dick. So yeah, 5. Hard 5. Right. Who am I kicking to, Shawnee?
Sure. I mean, hard 5 for me. Man, the whole Lego movie bit at the end. Like, I don't know why that's just tickling me right now. You know, going to the writer's room. Man, it's just, that's still tickling me. And thinking back and chatting with you guys about this, like, it was a 5 when it ended. And it's even more of a 5 talking with you guys about this. There's just so much, there's so many things in here. It does move through at a rapid clip, but enjoyably so. For me, at an hour 30, hour 37, like, there is... The laughs per minute in this, top notch. Easy 5. And I think, Ryan, you're left.
Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you. I'm at a 5.2 for entertainment. I love this. This is so fun. It was one I saw, again, just like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And then it came up again. I was like, probably don't have to rewatch this again. But I'm gonna. But... And I did. And I had just as much fun. I actually think I maybe liked it more the second time. because I eased on some of my issues with the wrap up with certain people. But I love how much you all really enjoyed the directors breaking the fourth wall at the end. It is, for me, it's the non-cursing scene. I just keep coming back to that, and like the word that rhymes with punt, and just punt, sorry, punt, punt, sorry, sorry, punt, sorry, punt, sorry, sorry. And like the back and forths, it's so good.
It's so funny that that wasn't even like the end of it. They still said a swear and their head exploded. Like you sit there thinking, oh shit, it ended. Nope, it didn't.
Yep. And there's still one more payoff, which is the British twist. It's I love it. I love the humor here. This was very entertaining, perfectly paced. Great. 5. I hope it does numbers on Hulu. Those average reviewer user ratings are so fucking low. Ignore that shit and watch this movie. Don't buy into that bullshit. That's not true.
I'm blown away that the Rotten Tomatoes audience was that much lower than the critical. That's just crazy.
It really is.
I think it's amazing that we're actually closest to the critical score. That's the highest out of all the scores that I've seen for this at a 79. And we blew that away. We just gave this movie a 95.
It. Holy shit.
Thank you. Caleb Heron did a lot for that. This is the highest ranking stoner movie ever. Did this outscore Big Lebowski? Well,
that can't be.
We didn't use the scale. But I'm...
No, retroactively, Big Lebowski cannot be lower than any other stoner movie.
Yeah, that's not allowed.
It just can't happen.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I still think that this movie deserves it. Do I think it's a 95 out of 100 movie? I don't know, but
am I going to start referencing this with Citizen Kane? Probably not, but
it is really interesting.
But I'm also not referencing Citizen Kane. So
when we talk about it in this score and how it differs from our viewpoints specifically, because like walking away from this both times, I'm like, yeah, that's an 8 out of 10 movie there. But I'm pretty sure my score reflects like between a 9 and a 10 somewhere. I think my score tonight is much higher than that, but I don't know how it happens, but.
Can I
think it's
pivot back to directors?
It could be.
Group real thing. Quick for just a quick side objective, because we talked about these guys were big on YouTube, I get, which I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes me think about, have you guys heard anything about this movie called The Backrooms?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. King Pixels, let's go. I can't wait for that movie.
I'm so hype on that. But did you know that fucking director is 20 years old? He's helming this movie. It's a fucking A24 flick. And the only thing he ever did other than this was he created The Backrooms on YouTube. It's the guy that originally created it. And
he did that. He did all the music for it. Movie. He has a separate channel.
I'm so hyped, dude. Mm-hmm. This kid's going to go fucking nutso. This movie looks sick as shit.
And it's Shuitel EGO4, so like you're guaranteed solid performance.
Yeah.
And it's A24.
A24 doesn't mean Perkins. Shit. Again, Dix the Musical is our pick next week, and you'll see why A24 is not that great. It's enough to
get me interested and like take it serious. Like, I'll at least my ears are going to perk up, and I'm going to be like, okay.
He also had Osgood Perkins like shadowing him and helping out a lot.
That means more to me.
That's big.
Yeah, yeah. Osgood Perkins is like. He's with Mike Flanagan for being one of like the most promising like new horror people. I really like his stuff a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's the only other thing I wanted to bring up after I found out their age and stuff and their YouTube. Yeah. So
it is worth noting they were writers on SNL for a season.
Oh.
You can see that. They've got really good comedy chops. And that's why 2016? Sarah Sherman's involved. Because she's also an SNL writer.
Oh.
Yeah.
/ sometimes occasional performer.
I think she's a regular performer now.
Is she a regular now? She's got this fucking crazy, surreal stand-up.
I know her from. It's the Netflix one with like the puppets and like the body.
The body parts? Uh-huh. Yep.
What? I need to...
Yeah, she's fucking crazy. Yeah, she's SNL.
No, yeah, that's crazy.
I think she's actually one of the featured now.
Is she good for her? Did she get DP? Good for her. I love that one. That has stayed with me for fucking 2 decades. Did he get EP? Good for him.
Yeah, she's a featured player.
Nice.
Starting, good for her.
At the, hell starting yeah. at the 47th season. So she's been a featured player for a while now. Or no, she Bobby was a featured Moynihan, player. Also now she's repertory
he's
status.
He's also an SNL.
That checks
he's
out.
An SNL guy, so.
But he's just good. Like, Bobby Moynihan, if you need, like, a really good character actor right now, he's it.
Yeah.
If you just need, like, a quick burst of funny, pop him in.
Anytime Bobby Moynihan pops
up, Moynihan,
it's instantly improved.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. 100%. As opposed to Kyle Mooney, who pops into a movie, and I literally groan.
That's fair. I still think the best thing Kyle Mooney ever did was his YouTube video sports. And he will never get yes. better than that.
Yes, agree.
Oh, I love Kyle Mooney.
Nope, I don't.
Kyle Mooney's involved heavily with the Tim Heidecker stuff. Kyle Mooney's fucking great.
Okay, he's, him and Ed I like go him, off but I don't think for all I care.
I think sports is the funniest thing he's done and will probably ever do.
He peaked 100%.
I like Y2K. I'll die on this.
Oh no. No, 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 no. Oh, I don't.
I know. I said I'll die on it.
Okay. Fair. I don't. I don't. And he's one of those directors who puts himself in the movie for much longer than needed.
Hey, but instead of let's talk about movies that we hate, Ryan, why don't you talk about our movie next week, if it is a movie?
So I have 3 movies to choose from, and I'm going to let you all pick your poison tonight, and I'll give you...
All right, let's each of us watch one of them, and we'll talk about all 3 at once next week.
Dude, that'd be crazy.
We'll all do a book report.
Oh, that's interesting. I want to think on that. But have them somehow be related. That'd be interesting.
Sarah Sherman's stage name is Sarah Squirm.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
It makes you squirm.
It's like a gross Pee-wee's Playhouse is the best way to play. It's interesting. It's worth watching.
I'm so intrigued.
So my choices for next week, we have... A whimsical animation movie that I'm sure nobody has seen. We have a horror thriller that's pretty recent that I'm pretty sure at least one of you has seen, but all of you know about. And then we have a comedy from the mid-aughts that maybe doesn't hold up, but goddammit, I love it. And kind of want to revisit it.
Ooh.
I know for sure Sean has seen it, and I think he liked it.
Sick.
That's one thing we got.
So those are the 3.
Loving.
Animation, okay,
well, I tell you,
thriller, horror, just, or comedy.
Just because I know he's not and never will go for it for the representation, I'm going the horror.
Okay.
And Brian never will. Brian doesn't like
that's true.
Horror,
so. That's true. Of those 3, that was the least likely of one I would
exactly.
choose.
Exactly. So I'm going horror.
I like it.
I'm so intrigued by animated whimsy, but I think I want to go with mid-aughts comedy.
All right. I like it. I like that.
I was very intrigued by that one.
The mid-aughts comedy, again, I'm pretty sure you have seen Sean. So where are you going to go?
For me, I have a suspicion I've seen both of these options, but knowing that I've seen the comedy makes me lean towards the psychological thriller because the possibility of it being something I haven't seen is more intriguing to me.
Okay. You brought in the term psychological. I don't know if that's quite there. I said thriller horror.
I can't hear anything.
All right,
so
just make sure.
Dumb thriller horror.
All right, so, well, I don't know. I have not seen this one. The other 2 movies I have seen, I have not seen this. But it is the new Sam Raimi movie that I'm super excited about. It is Send Help. That's going to be a movie next week then.
Okay, hell yeah.
Interesting. I thought you were honestly going to go someplace else with that.
No.
I thought you had.
I've got to watch Rachel McAdams in a movie? No.
Darn it.
So it sounds like, though, Sean, you are the only one who has seen Send Help.
Probably. What was the comedy? My headphones.
Yeah,
cut
I got to know what's the other 2.
The comedy was She's the Man with Amanda Bynes, which.
Okay.
Yeah.
2026 flick.
Dude, really glad. I really want to make you watch some of my bullshit, Kyle. More than anybody else here, I want to make you watch this shit. The other one was...
You don't want to see a dude stuff tampons up his nose?
It's honestly a very cute, nice, sweet Channing Tatum performance, and it's a good movie.
I'll counter with Sorority Boys.
Do you actually like Sorority Boys?
I've seen it multiple times.
Do you like
that? Does not answer Sorority Boys.
I can't give that away.
What a politician!
Unless we watch it. I actually did. I do enjoy it. It's got Harlan. Whatever his name is. I love that guy.
Michael Rosenbaum. Lex Luthor, you mean?
The guy from Half-Baked.
Yeah, also Lex Luthor from Smallville. But yes, Harlan.
And the dude from Seventh Heaven.
He was the cute one. Barry.
Mm-hmm.
Manilow.
He was very cute.
Is it Jenkins?
That's where my Barry mind Jenkins. Went to, Brian.
She's the man. I would also, we could do She's the Man and then Juana Man.
I guarantee you, one handles things much better than the other.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You think? Let's try it. Let's compare. Dude, that'll be our book report movie.
I would do a manly double feature with y'all. I'm down for a man.
Let's do
it.
I mean, that might be something we explore in the very near future. I think that would be something exciting. That'd She's be, the Man slash cool. Juana Man. Which one handles gender in a much more...
Man to man.
Hey, what was the animated?
The animation.
Yeah, what was our animated whimsy?
I'm gonna say the title, and it's gonna mean nothing to anybody. The Night is Short. Walk on, girl. It's a 90-minute Japanese movie that's just like one of the sweetest, cutest little things I've ever
now
seen.
I'm pissed we didn't do
and
that.
It has animation from Science Saru, who did the animation from Dandadan and like a lot of other things. Beautiful animation style, just great, gorgeous visuals.
Yeah, this looks amazing.
I dig
now
the style.
Wow,
sure.
That is beautiful.
Yeah,
I'm gonna watch it either way. So
I'm gonna watch this no matter what. So
yeah,
and
I will surely forget about it.
That's fine. It's on my list for.
I keep the tab
episodes.
Open so I don't.
That's why
that works for a while.
All
right. Well, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, if you enjoy how this episode, actually, this has been the last couple of weeks where the episodes kind of devolve into just a little bit of back and forth talking about some random stuff. If you really enjoy that and you want to just hang out with us and, you know, every week, chillax and just listen to us talk about random shit for like half an hour, 40, 45 minutes. They've been long, boys. You can head on over to experiencegrind.com, click on that Patreon link. Add an over as little as a dollar, dollary do. What's the most expensive dollar to US? $1
well, dollar per dollar, but I like dollary do.
Yeah, dollary right? do.
For
you can also
as
find
dollar,
out which of our worst nightmares would shove a chainsaw up our ass.
Oh yeah, we did talk about that earlier.
That's the final
that, we got
symptom.
Deep with that.
Listen who to you, some
listen,
of us
who do you think it was a gray person? Who do you think? We won't review it. We won't reveal it, but it's there. A gray person with a chainsaw. Anyways, Discord link is also right on the webpage, along with the entire archive going back like 12 years of shows. It's actually kind of sad. I was just thinking about it. In like 2 months, I'm at like 10 years of podcasting, and that's depressing. I went from a young white man to a middle-aged white man. I grew into this role.
When I started out, I was a young guy in a middle-aged man's game, and now, well.
And I'm not doing it better than them. Fuck. So yeah, check us out. Check us out on Patreon. Head on over to the Discord. Come have fun. Hang out. It's a good time, no matter which link you click on. But click on both. And if you already support on Patreon.
Is my recommendation. That's a good link.
Mm. All links lead to fun.
Meatspin.com does not lead to fun. Nor does Blue Waffle.
This old dick always threw a real fun lemon party.
Yeah.
That's such a good line. 30 Rock's a classic.
Oh,
good Lord.
30 Rock, one of the best written shows of all time. Don't give
up. This right here, this going back and forth and devolving into nothing is the Patreon. So if you enjoy that, go there. $200, mm-hmm. please.
I love you.
Money, please.
Brian, take us out. That was the outro. The spoiler.
No, listeners, go Kremble sauce yourself.
Woo! That's a swear, but cut isn't.